Sing out with joy for the brave little boy who was God, but he made himself nothing. Well, he gave up his pride and he came here to die like a man. That's the opening refrain from, from Abra Peterson's Christmas musical, Behold the Lamb of God. It is a retelling of the story that begins in the Old Testament and moves its way through to the birth of Christ. And what it does is it gets at the amazing truth of Christmas. The God of all time, God of all time, place, the God of all history, chooses to come to us as one of us, chooses to come to us as an infant, and does so ultimately so that that infant can grow, become a man, and give his life for us. John 3:16 sums up the same story this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have eternal or everlasting life. John says it right there in those first few words. For God so loved. For God so loved the world. When we might wonder to ourselves, why would God do that? What would motivate God to do that? And John says clearly to us, for God so loved the world. If I asked people, or if you were asked, what is God's greatest attribute? I think that if we took a poll of that, that love would probably top that poll. That would be the thing that people would say is the greatest identifier of who God is. God is love. It's God's greatest characteristic. And I would say to you, in a way, that's kind of a stunning answer. And in a way, historically, it's a surprising answer. There would be times in history where you could drop in and ask that question and love would not be the answer. That has not always been the answer. If you went to the time of Greek gods or Roman gods or many of the gods of the nations around Israel when they came into the Promised Land, the gods of the Canaanites and all those surrounding people, you would find qualities such as vengefulness, gods who are thirsty for revenge, gods who can best be described as cruel, as capricious, as unreliable, as indifferent to what goes on in the world, at best not caring about what's going on as people, and in their worst moments actually abusing or using people for their own purposes with little or no care about what the people would actually think. The God who reveals himself in Scripture, the God of all time and places, the God who shows who he is to Israel in the Old Testament, was different than all these gods of all these surrounding places. Our God is not indifferent to people. Our God doesn't play with people. Our God doesn't manipulate us and move us around and use us for entertainment purposes. God cares about us. God cares about creation and cares about what people do in creation. To sum up the shift, God loves people. God loves the people he created, and that's all of them. There's not a person that God didn't create. And in Scripture, we are introduced to this idea that God loves us. And then, as you move into the New Testament, it takes on a very personal character. God did a thing that was unthinkable. God becomes one of us. As Andrew Peterson sings, he becomes the brave little boy who was God, but made himself nothing. On this Sunday, the last Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we are completing 4 weeks of thinking about Messiah and what Messiah means, and how we understand who Jesus was as Messiah. And this morning, you really couldn't come up with a better way to close this and get ourselves ready to move from Advent to Christmas than to be reminded that what Messiah is about ultimately is that God is not cold and God is not uncaring and that God is not indifferent, but instead that God is love. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. They ask us some questions, a couple of questions that I want on your minds. One is, this gift of love that God has given to us, are we ready to receive what God has given to us? And do not too quickly answer the question. Are you ready to receive what God is offering to us, this gift? And second then, are we brave? Are we brave like the little boy and ready to live out love in our lives? And I asked the question about bravery, and Andrew Peterson uses the word brave because we know what happens to that child as a result of his great love for us. We know where that leads. And so from that we learn not only is love what Christ would want from us and for us to be about, but also that it's a challenge. It's not easy always to love, and it can lead to hardship, to difficult circumstances. So I want to come first to the Old Testament passage from Isaiah. And we've got a king there, Ahaz. Ahaz is not ready to accept the gift that God is offering. Ahaz is decidedly against receiving the gift that God offers. Isaiah says this to Ahaz. This is what he actually says. Ask a sign from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as the grave or as high as heaven. As deep as the grave or high as heaven. Ask God for a sign. That is what the prophet speaks to the king. And what he means is ask anything. No limits. Ask God for what you need, for what the nation needs. Nothing's off the table. Ask God. That seems like a pretty nice offer, correct? I mean, if you're the king and you've got some difficulties, which Ahaz has with some of the countries around him, and things are looking kind of grim, and a prophet comes in and says, ask God for anything, you might think this is a great deal. Ahaz is not convinced. Ahaz thinks it's a bad idea. He does not want to accept. He was indeed the king of Judah, and he did have his hands full, but he was afraid to ask God for anything. He was motivated by fear. And so this is his answer to Isaiah when Isaiah says, ask anything. Ahaz says, I won't ask. I won't test the Lord. So he's trying to make it seem as though I'm not going to put God out. I know God's very busy and God has a lot of things to do. And so I will not be that. I'm just going to step aside and not going to bother asking anything of God. But I would tell you this, and Isaiah sees this as well. It's not deference. He's not saying exactly what it sounds like he's saying is. What he's saying is, I'm afraid. He was afraid of what God might give him when he says, give me a sign. He was not sure he was going to like the sign. So rather than risk getting a sign he wasn't happy with or he didn't like, he just said, I'm going to pass on asking. Isaiah's not having this. He says, not so fast. Not so fast. I gave you the opportunity to ask, but ask or not, you're going to get a sign. He said, isn't it enough for you to be tiresome for people that you are now tiresome before my God? In other words, stop with the games. You are going to get the sign that God wants to give you. So Isaiah tells Ahaz that whether he wants it or not, here comes your sign. But the sign turns out to be good. It's a good thing, a good promise. It is a promise that God will be with him and that God will be with the people of Judah and that God's going to stand with them and with the adversity that's around them. At that time, there's hope, and there was for that time. So it turned out to be a good thing, and it is slightly different than the way we hear it now as Christians because we come to it in a different way. We come to it through the lens of the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew takes this promise and lifts it out. And when I said what God promises him is that God would be with him, that's where that name comes from, Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew uses that quote and talks about a prophecy in his story of one who is coming to us, the coming of Christ at Christmas. Jesus is that Emmanuel, according to Matthew, God with us. Our second scripture this morning is from the first chapter of the book of Romans. Paul writing to the church in Rome and sharing a message with them. This is the very beginning of it. And Paul is an example of what happens when a person receives good news from God and hears this reality that God loves us and that God has come to us. And after years of resisting and after years of actively persecuting Christians, Paul gets this moment of this invitation, this irresistible invitation on the Damascus Road. And in that moment, Paul does what Ahaz can't. So where Ahaz says, I really don't want a sign, I choose to pass, and does not want to embrace the sign from God, Paul accepts it. Paul lives into it. He is ready. And here's what happens to him as a result. His life becomes more fruitful, more meaningful, more purposeful. Paul becomes all he had been preparing to be, came into focus when he encounters Christ on the Damascus Road. And now he is the person that God intended. And so his life is what it was intended to be. And Paul would not have it any other way after that experience. He is totally into what God is doing through him. Things that are not always easy and a life that is hard in many ways, but it is the most rewarding life he can imagine. And as he introduces himself to the church in Rome, he says that he has been called. That's how he imagines himself. He has been called by God. He has been set apart. And it was a call that he could have fought against, but it's a call he embraced. And now what he wants to do is share it. He wants those Roman folks in the Roman church to know they're called too. Just as he's let all these other people in all these other places know that they are called and that God has a role for them, he says to those in Rome who are, this is important, dearly loved by God and called to be God's people, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what he points to? God's love. You who are dearly loved by God. Which is to say, do not be afraid that this God wants to call you, because this God's deepest motivation is love. The love that God has for you and the best that God wants for you. Because they are loved, they are called to be God's people. Christmas is our annual reminder that we are both loved and called by God. Loved so much that God would stop at nothing to reach out to us. There was nothing that God would not do, leaving us with a choice. Will we respond like Ahaz did? Will we be Ahaz in this? Not really sure. We want to receive what God wants to give us. Because Paul is up front here. The love that you're going to receive is going to come with a call. There's going to be expectations. There's going to be things for you to do. Living in God's love will change you. Living in God's love will change us. And it could perhaps be in ways that we imagine we do not want to be changed. Living in ways that are hard for us to change too. Maybe sometimes we might even imagine that we're not actually worthy of the kind of love that Paul is talking about God having for us. Or do we respond like Paul? Do we receive the gift the way Paul did? Paul, who is fully aware that he's not worthy. Paul doesn't have there's nothing about Paul that says, I'm totally worthy of this gift that I'm getting. Instead, he says, of all the people in the world, I'm the biggest sinner. And yet, I receive this gift. from God. He knows he's unworthy. And yet he also knows that God loves him so much that God's not going to let him go. God is not going to give up on him. God is not giving up on anyone. Ahaz may resist, but God's love will follow after him. Paul lived into God's love, and then he dedicates his life to sharing God's love. So I'm making an assumption here that may not be, I'm guessing this is pretty much broadly true, that people who gather for a service of worship in some way indicates that we know that God loves us. And we want to place ourselves in God's presence because we know that we worship a God who loves us. And that somehow that love that God has for us is working on us, changing us. Ways we recognize in ways sometimes it takes a long time to come into focus. We do want to acknowledge and receive God's gift of love. So what does it look like? What does that look like to actually do it? And I say this a lot of times, but preachers say these really vague things sometimes. Like God loves you and you need to live and we need to live like God loves us. So go out and be people who live like God loves you. What? What am I exactly supposed to do? One more story that gives a little practical application of what it looks like to respond to God's love. This is a story of a man who was supposed to get married. That was what was supposed to be the next thing, the next big event in his life. He's supposed to get married. Then everything goes exactly how you would not want it to go if you were this guy waiting to get married. Instead of what you would hope would unfold, he finds out that the young woman he is supposed to marry is expecting a child. And so now he's got this to deal with in his mind. And he knows it's not his child, and he's hurt, and he's confused, and this guy is a good guy. He's a good guy. And he doesn't want to do anything hurtful. He's just going to kind of keep a low profile and break off the engagement. And you go your way and I'll go mine. That's kind of what he's thinking. He just wants out. Then this happens. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place so that the Lord had spoken, so what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife. Joseph responded to the angel who basically was saying one hard thing to understand after another to him. And because he was a person who God walked with and who walked with God, he's able to receive this news, and he was obedient. He lived out that love in what had to be a very difficult circumstance. Love wasn't easy. But I don't think you can read this and come up with any other conclusion than love was what Joseph chose. Love was the answer Joseph chose to that situation. This is what Advent points us to. This is what Christmas reminds us of. God loves us more than we can know, more than we can explain. More than we can understand, God loves us. God comes to us. The brave little boy who was God, but he made himself nothing. God offers a life of love to us following the man that that brave little boy becomes. The way of love can be joyous and wonderful and at times even easy, but not always. The way of love can also be difficult and definitely not easy. But come once more to the manger. Come once more to the manger and be assured. The way of love, following the brave little boy, is a way that we do not want to miss. Thanks be to God. Amen.